It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of John, John chapter 12. We'll begin reading with verse 42 and we'll read to the end of the chapter. While you're opening your Bible so that you can follow along with me, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today to study the Word, and I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. John chapter 12, beginning to read with verse 42. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come together and proclaim this word and enjoy it together with these folks. Please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us as we study these verses one at a time. We may know your way and will, and it will touch our hearts. It will come to you as and invite you into our heart as our Savior, needing our sins forgiven and coming to you as our Savior. And then also, Father, we will grow day by day and enjoy this precious, sweet time. Please, Lord, we'll see your way and will clearly today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful that some of these folks believed. Sad here in the verse 42 and 43. Wonderful that they believed. Sad that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I listed a couple of verses of scripture for you, or a couple of mentioned a couple of men that were of this group and had been. We know in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night, and he told him, Jesus told him, that you must be born again. And we know, according to the testimony and the Word of God, that he did come, but he was one of those silent ones, didn't hear much out of him, because he desired to stay somewhat, I guess, in the position he was in for a period of time. We are thankful that there was a time that finally Nicodemus recognized that he must stand for Jesus. And as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went and took the body of the Lord Jesus down and prepared it for the grave, please that you don't be a silent disciple, a silent follower of the Lord Jesus. Do you desire that men would speak kindly of you, and when you speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would maybe make fun or say that nobody with any sense at all would follow after that, and so you kind of backtrack instead of standing for Jesus Christ and clearly proclaiming that any man, if you're a real man, would come to Jesus Christ, because any true real man would understand that he is a sinner and he's lost and he needs a Savior. And so here again, the sad thing is, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let's search for the praise of God and desire to have it. Please, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Last time we were together, we looked up a verse of Scripture back in Revelation chapter 21, and I'd like to repeat that as we begin the study today. Revelation chapter 21, the 8th verse. But the fearful, unbelieving, and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Many people come to Jesus, and once you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, it is important that you do confess Him before man. But it's what you do in your heart. You're turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to Him by faith. And I believe anyone that is truly saved will, at a point in time, hopefully soon, confess Jesus as their Savior before man. Because the Word tells us that then the Father, Jesus, will bring us before the Father if we... It's so important that as we look to the Word of God that we understand that to not be backward and not be ashamed of the gospel is so important, because it's important that the Lord Jesus will come before His Father, confess us before His Father. So I guess, my friend, if you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ and yet you have no witness of it, you've confessed it before no man, I guess I would want to look into your heart. I would want you to look into your heart to see that, am I truly saved? And I do not want you to miss salvation by a few inches from your head to your heart. Please, that you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. Now we continue in verse 44. That was quite a list that we read back in Revelation 21, wasn't it, before we get any further. But the fearful, are you afraid to come to Jesus Christ for what people might say about you? Oh, again, please come to Jesus Christ. Be a real man, be a real woman, and come to Jesus Christ today and confess Him as your Savior and begin to live a wonderful life that He has to offer. Now, as we continue down in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but Him that sent Me. He that seeth Me seeth Him that sent Me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ is our light. And if we come to Him, if we would trust in Him, then we have come from darkness unto light. And please that you trust in Him. But it's important that we see what we have in the verses above that. He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but Him that sent Me. All glory and honor the Lord Jesus turned unto His Father. And so many folks today do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they speak of God has done this in their life and God has done that in their life. And that is impossible. Because until you know the Son, you cannot know the Father. And if you know the Son, then you know the Father. And this is what these verses of Scripture are telling us. He that seeth Me seeth Him that sent Me. But until you see Jesus Christ, you cannot come to God the Father and then get to know the Son. Because the only way you can meet and enjoy the fellowship and have what God has offered you in that salvation is to come to His Son. And His Son will introduce you and teach you of the Father so that you know God the Father. Then you can speak of Him and talk of Him. But not until then. I am come a light into the world, Jesus said. I have brought the commands of God. I have brought the will of God unto you, and that will was that we would be saved and we could be saved, and that comes through our surrendering our heart to the Lord Jesus and turning to Him. I am come a light into the world, John 12:46, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. We have the opportunity to leave the darkness and turn into the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope all that are listening today will do that. You'll recognize Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you, and you need to confess your sin and turn to Him. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. As we look at these verses of Scripture now, we understand that to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ is to, as we've talked about, going from the light, from the darkness unto the light. If you'll recall, Jesus healed a blind man. He was blind, but now I can see, was a statement that he is making. I was blind, but now I can see. He was physically blind, and now he has been physically healed. It's the same way with ourselves. We are spiritually blind, spiritually in total darkness. But we can spiritually see. We can spiritually have the light if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to admit our blindness to begin with. I've always said, if you're not lost, you don't need to be found. You need to realize you're lost. You're separated from God. And when you recognize that, when you recognize that you're blind, that you're in that darkness, then is when you'll begin, because the Spirit is dealing with you, showing you your condition, your spiritual condition. You're dead. You're blind. There's many. You can't hear. You can't see. All these things are part of becoming a Christian. The condition of the lost person before you become a Christian. And please that you would trust in Jesus Christ. Come to Him today and admit that you need a Savior. First you admit you're blind. Then you realize that somebody's got to save you because you can't. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. So please that you look to those. And if any man, verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. As we look to this verse of Scripture, the first time God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The second time that Jesus is going to come to this earth, He will come as the judge. And at the same time here, He says, "I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And that's very true. He come to save the world, to seek and to save those that are lost. Are you lost? Please that you look to the only one that can save you from your lost condition. That's the first time, 2,000 years ago when he came to this earth, that's what he'd come to do. And that's the what he had carried out, was to live here upon this earth, take on the body of a man, live here upon this earth, and for 33 years, at the end of that ministry, the last 3 years was clearly his ministry, and when he finished that, then he went to the cross of Calvary, died there, and then 3 days, 3 nights later, he rose again. 40 days later, after that, he ascended back to be at the right hand of the Father. We have a living God that has come to seek and to save us. Please that you trust in him. And he's telling these people that I have not come. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. You think, well, okay, that's fine, because if God the Son is not going to judge me, I should be okay. Well, there will be a time that he will. But right now he has come to save. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the whole reason. To bring us from our darkness and put us into the light. And it doesn't just happen universally because Jesus has carried out his part. Every one of us have to face that we're a sinner and we are lost and we need a Savior. Now please that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ today and accept that free gift of salvation that he has offered unto you. He that rejects me and receives not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Very clear in verse 47, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But there is something in place that will judge you if you choose not to believe. It's that simple. To believe or not to believe. Are you going to come by faith? And you say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I believe that he rose again. I believe that he's on the right hand of the Father. And I believe he can take my sin away. Well, have you accepted that gift? All the things you're saying you believe. And the scripture says here, He that believes not is going to be judged at some point in time. Jesus says, right now I'm not going to do it. But there will be a time, and there's something already in place that's going to judge you, and that's my word, according to verse 48. The problem comes, and that is, I explain it as the personal relationship. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. That's a personal decision. And many folks just believe that universally, if you go to church, if you've been baptized, if you're a member of the church and active in the church, then I am a Christian. No, you're not. According to the Word of God, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please, believed in the heart. See, that's where it stops. Yes, confession is made with your mouth. In your mind you believe, but how about your heart? And a heart means that you have faced your sin, you have recognized you're a sinner, and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a day when you do that. Do you remember that day? Do you recognize that day that you have come to Jesus Christ? If you don't, if it's just something that you've kind of evolved into, then you're not a believer, a true believer in Jesus Christ. Your sins have not been taken away from you. You have not been separated from your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ because you have not received that gift. It's an action that you must perform. That's all. It's not an amount of money. It's not the amount of work. It's an action. It's a turning. Repent's the word. Turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you to do that today, that you'll trust in Him and walk after Him. Again, verse 48 now, John 12:48, he that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Four times we have the word judge in the 47th and 48th verse. Four times. I judge him not. I came not to judge. But then we find in verse 47, verse 48, hath one that judgeth him. And then at the end of that verse, the same shall judge him in the last days. There will be a judgment. If you've rejected Jesus Christ, there will be a judgment. Jesus did not come to judge, but to save, the Scripture clearly tells us. The very word He spoke, the very word that He speaks of here in verse 48, the written word, is the living word, Jesus Christ. The words that He has written down is His living word. And so when it becomes His living word, and if you'll look to back to John, the very beginning of the chapter, John chapter 1, verse 14, John 1:14, let me just go back to verse 1 and 2, and then I'll read verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now to verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, in the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What did He say in verse 48, John 12:48? He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. There will be a time that you'll stand before Jesus Christ. Right now, for some reason, some foolish reason, you will not confess your sin. You will not face it, and you'll not come to Jesus Christ for some foolish reason. There'll be a day, though, that you will bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, for some reason, you don't want to. You don't want your sins forgiven. You don't think you're bad enough that you need to do something like that. Well, you've never looked and into the old flesh. You know that you're wicked. You know that you need a Savior. Every man, woman, and child that's alive today needs a Savior, Jesus Christ. And every man, woman, and child in this world has an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. And they have either accepted that free gift of salvation or they have rejected it. And I ask today that you be not part that rejects it, because there'll be a time that you don't want to bow down to Him today. You don't want to bow down to anybody, because you're your own God, or your money's your own God, or your home's your own God, or whatever possession that you've acquired, you worship something, I guarantee that. But when you come to Jesus Christ, you are surrendering and you're going to worship Him and bow down to Him. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian and to do that, to serve the God that knows tomorrow, to serve the God that has the power to take my sin away. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity that is. But there'll be a time that you will bow down to Jesus. You will bow down before Him, and the judgment will come upon you. And when that judgment comes, you will be found, as Revelation 21:8 told us. You'll be found, you'll find yourself in the lake of fire, because you've ignored Jesus Christ. You have decided to take your own sin and try to deal with it however that you can or possibly would. And instead of that, you have found that you weren't capable. You've found that every sin you've ever committed is still against your account. And you're standing before a living, righteous, just God that cannot allow anyone into heaven, into the presence of God, with one sin, let alone a multitude that we carry with us. So we must come to Jesus Christ that we may get back into fellowship with God the Father, that we may spend eternity with Him instead of eternity in the lake of fire. I want you to come to Jesus Christ. I want you to trust in Him today and look to Him. If the sinner will not trust the Savior, the time will come when the Savior will become the judge. And it's only right that Jesus Himself be the judge, because He came down on this earth, He left glory, came down here, walked through this God-forsaken earth, the place that rejects Jesus, rejects God, the very creator of the world was rejected. And yet He stayed in the appointed time, come to that cross and died on that cross, finished the work of redemption so that you and I can live. He did that. And yet you still will not by faith come to Him. You've maybe come to some religion that you worship and you serve God in. Well, you don't serve God. You're serving man in some way or another, because you're not serving God until you've come by faith to Jesus Christ. So you see Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, because He has offered His life and paid the total price with His life to come and pay your debt, then He has the right to judge you if you refuse to trust in Him. And He will do that. He will become your judge. The sinner is actually passing judgment on himself. So you today, by not coming by faith to Jesus Christ, are passing judgment upon yourself. You are condemning yourself to hell. Scripture says you're condemned already because you believe not. Will you please come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him? For I have not spoken, the Scripture tells us now in verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The obedience of the Son to follow the direction, the instruction of His Father. When He came down here upon earth, He came down for the purpose of fulfilling His Father's will. And His Father's will was that the Son would die on the cross, that the Son would bear the sins of the world, and Jesus did. And it's so beautiful. I'm going to read one more time, and then we'll begin the 13th chapter. Just kind of get ready for it for next time we're together. John chapter 12, verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself." Jesus never again took on his own glory. "But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." The Son of God, God himself, was faithful to follow his Father's will. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three yet one. And when Jesus left glory to come down here, he came down here not to fulfill his own will and his own desires. Boy, didn't that sound like you and me? We'd much rather do what we want to do than what God wants us to do. But Jesus has given us a beautiful example. He followed every part of his Father's will. Not one part did he turn away from. "I know that his commandment is life everlasting." That's what the Father chooses and desires to give unto all that believe upon him. It's so important that we trust in Jesus Christ. It's so important that we walk after him. It's so important that we see his obedience to the Father. "I know that this commandment is life everlasting, and whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Please, that you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ clearly today and come to him, that you may know the Father, learn of the Lord Jesus, and then begin to learn about the Lord Jesus, his life and his death, and learn of the God the Father, learn of God the Spirit as we begin this beautiful walk as a Christian. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, raised up from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now we're going to stop reading there and just visit just a little bit on the verses of Scripture here. You notice that the public ministry of the Lord Jesus has ended. Jesus has been rejected by the people, and he has come now to be together with those that love him. And this message we have here is for his own, not for the Pharisees, not for the religious crowd, but for his own, for those that have come by faith to him. Now we have an extra in here, don't we? And that one is Judas Iscariot, because he is not a believer. As we look, we find that the time schedule that the Lord Jesus has set here is so important, because it is not the time schedule of man. It's the time schedule of God the Father. Now before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. He knew that his hour was come. Very quickly, before we run out of time today, go to John chapter 2, verse 4. John 2, 4. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And if you'll turn to John chapter 7, verse 30. John 7, 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. John chapter 8, verse 20. John 8, 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. John 12, 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And then as we've come to John 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart from this world. A time schedule not set by man, not controlled by man, but set by God the Father and followed by the Son. My dear friend, will you please come to Jesus today? What are you going to do about Jesus?